Blog Talk Radio.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is working to help keep you and your community safe from the threat of novel or new coronavirus. Take the following everyday steps to help avoid the spread of all respiratory viruses. Wash your hands often with soap and water for at least 20 seconds. Cover your cough or sneeze with a tissue. Throw the tissue away and then wash your hands. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects or surfaces, such as remote controls and doorknobs. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. And stay home if you are sick. Call your healthcare provider if you develop fever, cough, or difficulty breathing. For more tips, visit cdc.gov.
Good morning, and welcome to Saturday Morning for Joy Keys. I'm your host, Joy Keys. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. You can check me out on Twitter, at Joy Keys, also on Facebook, Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys, and you can check us out on Instagram, Saturdays with Joy Keys. Thank you again for tuning in. I was away for a minute. Thank you for still listening to some of the podcasts and downloading them here and on iTunes. I really appreciate that. Thank you, thank you, and thank you. Well, this morning, I am so honored to have a special guest who is in a completely different time zone. I know it's really early for him. You've seen him on SEAL Team. You've seen him on Insecure. You might remember him on The Walking Dead. You might remember him from Fast and Furious. This is MBJ, Neil Brown Jr. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you again for calling in this morning. I know you have a busy schedule, even though you're home. You're still doing things.
Yeah, I try to keep busy, but I appreciate you having the interview.
So you're like the hardest working man in show business. I mean, you're doing like two shows, three shows. I mean, you were doing Dirk Gently, then Insecure. And I'm like, I can't keep up. How do you keep your energy up?
I was out of work for a long time. I know what it's like to be broke. So, and I don't like that feeling. So the energy just comes. My wife tells me to.
Okay.
I'm fortunate and blessed, and I just thought this has made my dream come true along with my wife. I mean, I've always wanted, I love my job, I love my career. So that, you know, the opportunity to do it on a higher level and a consistent basis is, you know, all the energy I need. Because I remember so many nights when I all I wanted was to get, you know, to say one line in a TV show, you know, a movie, you know. Mm. And I remember
trying
times,
to be SAG, trying to get your SAG card and stuff like that.
Interestingly enough, my SAG card, I had a really blessed career. I was in a right to work state in Florida when I started acting. So I was eligible for my SAG card like at the gate, like when I was like 14 or 15.
Wow.
But, you know, it cost a lot of money that I wasn't making. And my parents, you know, my family, I come from very, very humble maker means, we were quite broke. So I had to continue to do more shows until I could make enough money to join the union. Thank God. So happy I did. Because back then insurance, you didn't pay a premium. You just got it.
So you didn't start out acting, actually. You started out in the martial arts. Tell the audience about maybe the different styles that you used to do and how you started your first audition.
I was an 80s kid, so, you know, martial arts, karate, taekwondo, all that stuff was really big. But I've been training since I was like 4 or 5 years old. I kind of started with taekwondo, but I don't know. I was a lot for that instructor to handle because I was a very hyper kid. And then I started training in Shotokan, and the sensei, the teacher there, was really good at giving me a space for discipline, and he. And that style was as well. So I did Shotokan. I started, I originally, you know, boxing. My uncle was Tiger Brown. He fought Muhammad Ali in an exhibition, and he was an Army champ. And he taught me to box, and then I did Muay Thai, Shotokan, and then it spanned from then on. I did Jiu-Jitsu, Aikido, Wailong Kung Fu, Wing Chun. I kind of dabbled in a lot of different styles, capoeira, just because I cross-trained with a lot
capoeira.
Of other masters.
Okay.
Yeah, I did capoeira.
Excellent,
From Mestre Alazo and Brazilian Pelerino in Florida. And actually, I did a movie, Never Back Down, and one of my homies, Scooby, he was the dude in Never Back Down with the dreads. He was doing the capoeira and got knocked out with one punch. and we grew up together, you know, we grew up together fighting, you know, each other in tournaments and stuff. And in real life, it wouldn't have went down like that.
right.
Mess you up. He would kick your nose off your face.
right. Now, you also have another side, like a very disciplined side. A lot of your family are in the armed services. Did that help you with your SEAL team character?
Yes, it does. It does. I mean, growing up with my dad, he's a Marine, and then my uncles are all military, and I thought I was going to go into the military as well. I had a certain type of insight into it, and I was always a big military. I thought I was going to, go into the military, be in special forces, get out, become a officer of the law and fight crime. Little did I know that those were the dreams of a kid who wanted to be in movies. I wanted to be the guy in the movie. I thought I wanted to be the guy in the movie. I didn't realize that I wanted to be the guy in the movie,
Right. I hear you.
pretending, which is why, which is so great that my martial arts led to me being on this show called WMAC Masters. It was like something out of a movie. Pretty much my dad is who I play with in SEAL team. Just a lot of his vernacular, sensibility, how he is as a man. He's actually more of a kidder than Ray is, but he does lend a certain type of insight when I want to play like a good strong. I mean, my dad's my hero. He's the best man I ever know, and.
Okay.
When I play him, when I play these characters, especially military characters, I just draw on a lot of stuff that I learned from him and how he raised me and my sister as children.
So I hear you read the script like 3 times in order to get into character. I mean, 3 times. Is that true?
Well, yeah. Well, so my dad... my dad was a big practice guy, repetition, which is what, in karate and Muay Thai, you only get good by doing something over and over and over and over and over again, and then you have to do a kata 1,000 times, at least 10,000 times until you see your opponent, and then you've mastered it, right? So I know that to get better at something, repetition is a big part of my skill set. It's a big part of how I get better. And this acting coach, Dennis Neal, who's been my guy. I never really went to school, but I've worked with him since I was like 15. And he said to start studying my scripts like a play. And the one thing about it is if you know the play backwards and forwards, a lot of times when you watch a great movie and you've seen it so many times and you repeat the lines, you know what's going to happen next, but it's still kind of surprising and fresh. Especially a good movie you love. And that's just from you seeing it so many times. The same thing is with a script. So I read it 3 times before I look at the lines. And by the time I go into it the 4th time, I kind of already know what's about to happen. So I understand kind of the overall arc of the episode and kind of what everybody's going through. And then I read it as other characters as well to see – exactly where my arc fits in and what emotion we're coming. Sometimes when you only read your stuff, you don't know what happens in the scene before that. And in terms of a TV show, especially or movie, the rhythm there's a rhythm to it, and you may be really off rhythm if you're like, if the scene before it is like this kind of somber scene, and then all of a sudden you're like, ha 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 ha, and you're singing.
Come and
you
laughing,
play
yeah.
It, you know, that way. Now, obviously, the director is going to try to fix that and make sure that doesn't happen, but sometimes it doesn't, and sometimes it just lets you play it the way you want to play it, and it could be really off-putting. So I always, I'm very thorough in knowing the scripts and everything that's happening in it with everybody. But then then when it comes down to it, throwing most of that stuff away and focusing on what I'm supposed to be focusing on, because maybe my character doesn't know what happened before that. But I can still fit that kind of pace that the show is running in. So yeah, and that was a big change in my career. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, my career went so much better when I started doing that. I just became much more diligent about my process.
Would you want your kids to go into the business, or would you want them to go into the military?
No.
You said no.
No. No.
Wait, did you say no? I'm sorry. I didn't hear that.
No. Yeah, that's it. No. Have you seen the video about the dude who's like going to be quarantined with your family? Do you A, stay with your family? Well, B. my kids are wonderful. I couldn't have been blessed with two more, you know, smart, healthy, great kids who have something that you just can't buy is they have great hearts. They are really caring kind of kids. They have empathy and they're sensitive to people's, you know, needs and other people's lives. You know, they know how to walk in another person's shoes, which I'm so fortunate that they have that in them. And I wouldn't want to see that heartbreak. They're my babies. I mean, they're grown, but they're still my babies. So you're much more likely to find happiness. If there's anything else you want to do other than acting, you're much more likely to find happiness there than you will find here. It is a hard, hard, tough road. You get a lot of no's than you get on anything. Now, my son's in the music, he's good, and I'm part of me is, you know, impressed and I'm happy for him, and then the other part feels sad because I know what that walk is like, you know, and he works so hard at it. His name's Conscious Prophet, and he works so hard at it. But I do know, I know how rough it is. You know, I know the sleepless nights, and I know just wanting it so bad. And you know, a lot of times you got to understand the motives behind what you want. Do you want to do this thing because you want to be, you know, good, or do you want to be famous? Because they're very, very, very different things. Now, even though they go hand in hand, I never wanted to be famous. I never wanted to stand out and be like, hey, you know, have people like me. They're like, I do not. This is not my thing. And I appreciate everyone who does. But I really do this. So I do this so that people can check out. I do this so people can feel something, whether it be good, bad, indifferent, or you know, laughter. I just I think it's important to use your gift to help other people. And a lot of times the roles I do and all the things that I do, that's why I try to be as smart as I can about it, because I want to do roles that make people feel good more often than not. Or you know, it can be cathartic for somebody. They can watch me do a role and I could remind them of somebody they couldn't stand, and then something happens to me and they were like, ah, yes, thank you. Ha, that's what should have happened.
Thank Johnny you, Jesus.
Right, or whoever.
He died.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, my God.
Talking about music. Oh, yeah. Exactly. You can, you know, it can take you to these different places and stuff. So, you know, my son's into that. But I didn't want to be, you know, I didn't want people to like Neil Brown Jr. I wanted them to like
the role. You do play an instrument, though. You do play an instrument as well,
guitar,
right?
Yeah, I play piano.
Oh, and piano.
Yes, I do.
What kind of music do you like to play?
I play 12-bar blues. I'm a blues guy. Bluegrass, blues. I mean, I'm from the South. And
do you sing?
A lot, you know, classical piano. Nah, not well.
In the shower?
Not
you sing
well
in the shower, right?
No, I mean, you know, I grew up in the church, and so I grew up singing gospel music and whatnot. You know, I'm no singer, no.
Okay. Let's talk about this last episode of SEAL Team. Oh, my God. When I was seeing the previews, I thought you were going to get shot and die. Like, I was like, no, I'm about to interview him.
Point.
He can't die yet. Like, hold up. Wait a second.
That was the point. That came out of nowhere. That good old CBS. When they edited that trailer for the next episode, we're like, ooh, this does look bad. But
yes.
Ray made it out. I mean, it was a close call. You know,
right.
That round could have spin off, hit him in the neck, and he could have bled out right there.
Exactly.
So yeah,
it was
a pretty exciting episode.
Like, is it like 16 time takes, 20 times, or you only do 2 takes and it's done? Like, how many times did you have to shoot crawling out the roof and checking out what was going on?
Oh, we had to do it quite a few times to get the timing right, because the angle we were at, Allison Libby Brown, who's the director of that episode, wonderful woman, and she always comes in and knocks out these episodes. We were trying to get the mechanism to work right. We only had so many times that the spark could go off on my vest.
Mm-hmm.
And we only had the one patch underneath it. It says, "I'm your Huckleberry." That's a patch that I have underneath. If you look closely, you'll see it gets winged. And so we only had so many takes of that. So the other part that we could control, me crawling with Bertha 2.0, that's my gun. The sniper rifle.
Okay.
It was Bertha 2.0. We call her, it's Bertha 2.0, which is actually, her name is Myrtle. I had to do that one a bunch of times. But I'm pretty, but most of the time that's technical stuff that they have to get right. So they weren't getting the shots off or you know, one of the explosions didn't happen or whatever. I try to be diligent about, like, nailing what I got to nail in 1 or 2 takes, because it's such a big production and there's so much going on and so many actors that have deeper scenes than I do. And I just want to make sure that everybody gets their time in. So the thing that I can control is be as good as I can for the cast and for the rest of the cast and the crew.
Is your suit heavy? Like, all that, you got the uniform, you got the vest, you got the gun. Is it really heavy? Are you sweating? Do they come and, like, pat you down a lot? What's going on just,
you know,
with the physicality
you
of
know
it?
You know what's heavier? Broke. Broke is heavier. Okay? That's what's heavier. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you.
Not working is heavier. Okay, so no, it's not that heavy at all. Heavy is no job. That's heavy.
Okay. look, you know, a lot of people, let's talk about that, being broke. A lot of people right now are out of work due to the coronavirus situation, and it's really hard for them. How is your family handling, you know, if you're used to working and now you're not, do you feel restless?
I'm one thing that I learned about, you know, I've been in this business since I was 14 years old, and had a lot of, like, nights where, you know, I couldn't sleep because I just wanted to work so bad, and I didn't know how I was going to feed my kids, and I didn't know how I was going to, you know, get this thing done for my wife, and I had to put on that brave face every day, and I had just remember those nights. And so I learned how to work at working very early on. So to always be doing things, right now I'm staring at a bunch of plays in my office. I'm always doing stuff towards work. So I'm writing, I'm reading, taking in interviews, with other potential writers and partners, and trying to create more content, better, you know, content, always trying to develop my craft because I'm just getting started. I still don't know what I'm doing. So I'm just trying to learn and be better at what I do. So I'm always, there's always stuff to do for me. I feel the reason, one of the reasons why I'm not all over social media and why I'm not everywhere online is because I know so many people are having a very hard time and watching me comfortable in my house. I don't see how that really helps anyone, but I do like to send out words of encouragement because it's not a piece of cake for me and my family. We are much more fortunate than so many because, you know, God is good and I remain faithful and I knew how to handle my money from being broke for so long.
Right.
So I know how to make it stretch. And my family, you know, they're in the South and they're doing well because they're subsidized by me. I make sure that they're you know, that they can sit in the house because I'm paying for it. But gladly,
right.
It's all I ever wanted to do was take care of my family and parents and sister and her son and my in-laws. So everyone's
That's
pretty
really
healthy,
great.
And doing well. And you know, I won't let it, as long as there's, you know, blood in my body, I'm not going to let them go. Yeah. I'm not going to let them, you know, go hungry or have to struggle for anything.
There's a caller on the line. Let's get a question here. Good morning. You have a calling from 9311, last four digits. Do you have a question?
Yes, I wanted to ask your guest about the change in the scripting where you're having more conversations with your daughter and she's afraid for your dying in duty, and how does that affected you? It's clear that it's a very emotional thread, but how do you feel as a father in terms of that change in the storyline?
Thank you for the question.
First of all, yeah, thank you for taking the time to call in. I appreciate that. That's a great question because, you know, that was something that who this story is kind of about, the real dude, that's something he wanted to see more of, like the family stuff, but especially with my daughter. And it's something that I had asked the showrunner about, Spencer Hudnett. And Spencer is becoming, you know, he's becoming a father as well, and it's something that he wanted to see. So it was very emotional because I always wanted a daughter, but the good Lord saw fit not to bless me with a child that I have to chase around and kick the boys away, especially
exactly.
If she looked like a mama. So I get to live out this stuff with Kalia Rambo, who plays my daughter Jamila. It was that natural progression because she was getting older, and it was that juxtaposition between David and how he handled Jason Hayes and how he handled his kids, and then how would Ray handle his kids. And it's just unfortunate because there was some flashback stuff that was going to happen that was going to bring it all kind of into view. Before, you know, coronavirus happened and we had to shut down production. But it's been really, really good. And there's going to be more of it, seeing that family life, because that's the struggle now, right? We've seen how Ray handles, you know, faith, and we've seen how the team handles their struggles. But now what happens at home? You know, these are real questions Jamila's asking, and she's worried, and now she has an idea of what Daddy really does. And you get to see how he handles it. And Spencer Hunnett and the other writers, Mark Simos and all these guys were thinking about, like, this is the way it happens in the military. This is the real stuff. I mean, because you're not just in the military, your family is as well. And so we're able to show that now in the development and, like, the choices that Ray makes when, you know, talking to his daughter about it. And then now he's thinking about that more while he's out operating, which is dangerous. Because it's dangerous to be second guessing your choices because you're thinking about your baby girl. But I think ultimately Ray, who is a guy about balance, finds a way to make it all work.
So let's we have a couple of minutes left. Let's just ask a couple of fun questions. If you only had $100, what would you do?
Give it to my wife.
Okay.
She'd make better decisions. She made better decisions.
Oh, my gosh. Are you a turkey and cheese guy or peanut butter and jelly?
Peanut butter and jelly. I'd eat both of them. But peanut butter and jelly.
Now, what makes a good peanut butter and jelly sandwich? Is it the bread? Is it the jelly? Or is it the peanut butter?
It's the peanut butter. You can put them.
And are you a crunchy?
Put any kind of jelly. No.
You like crunchy or creamy?
No, I'm creamy. I'm crunchy. I'm not a serial killer. I want creamy. Creamy peanut butter. Crunchy peanut butter. What, I'm in third grade? No. Creamy, delicious
peanut
butter.
Wait, did you ever have?
Come on.
Did you ever have like organic peanut butter that has like the oil and it settles at the top and you got to like stir it like really crazy? Have you ever seen that?
Yes, child. You know what else kind of peanut butter? You know what else kind of peanut butter does that? Government peanut butter. Government peanut butter.
Government.
A big old pot of peanut butter. And it would, the oil would sit up to the top, and it'd be just a whole bunch of oil. But let me tell you something, that peanut butter was delicious. Yes, I got some humble beginnings. Humble beginnings.
All right. Now, would you take a plane? Would you take a plane, or would you take the train?
I take planes, but I like the train, man. I think train rides are awesome.
You know, they have a really cool train ride up the West Coast there. Going up and down the West Coast is great views up there.
Yeah. My wife and I keep saying we're going to do it, and then I'm busy all the time. That's why this coronavirus was interesting, because it was like it made us sit down for a while. Although we were supposed to be in Bora Bora, so I'm not even going to get into that because I'm going to get mad. But
okay, let's not talk about that.
Yeah, that was our 20-year wedding anniversary. We're having our 20-year wedding anniversary in the house. My youngest son's 20th birthday in the house, and I'm probably gonna have my 40th birthday in the house. So,
in the house,
you know. Yep. But we blessed, and highly favored, and you know we're all healthy. So that's that's really the most important, the only important thing.
And the first
the people on the front line out there, the nurses, the doctors, the United States Postal Service, who are still continuing to deliver. I'm so thankful and humbled by all of them, and so blessed to have them. And those are the people we need to be seeing. Like I feel like on social media, seeing their battles, their struggles, and encouraging them because they do it.
Without them. We wouldn't survive. If the Postal Service stopped, that would jack a whole bunch of stuff up, okay?
Yeah, it would be.
I mean,
it would be horrible.
On numbers of levels, you know?
Yeah.
People's medicine. People get medicine through the mail, you know? So people should be nice to their postal workers, maybe even give a sandwich, bake them a little cake, leave them some cookies.
Yeah, I know.
I
put a sign out there, and I'm always going for my run when she's walking around delivering mail. So I'm always waving, saying hey, thanking her, you know, leaving little notes or something, you know. Just those little encouraging bits goes a long way with people, and just having compassion for your neighbor because they may not be able to get to the store, and you know they may be help or they may be starting to get sick and not able to do much. So I would just hope that people would look out for those who are less fortunate than them, because it can always be worse. It can always be somebody always has a worse life than you, and if people thought about it that way, I think we'd be a little better off. That's what I try to teach my kid all the time. I was like, look, I know you think you have it hard, but what about this kid? You know what I mean? Not take it away from
living in a van down by the river.
Yeah.
You know, okay. Well, thank you so much, Neil. Thank you very much for coming on this morning, getting up, and I wish you so much success in the future, and God bless you and your family.
You too. Thank you so very much. You have a blessed
day. Okay. You too. Okay. Bye-bye. Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Just got off the phone with Neil Brown Jr. from SEAL Team. Also, he's an Insecure on HBO. You can follow me at Joy Keys on Twitter or check me out on Facebook, Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. Also, I'm on Instagram, Saturdays with Joy Keys, and I would love to hear from you. Send me an email, SaturdayMorningsWithJoyKeys@hotmail.com, and I will try to respond. Next, I'm going to have a wonderful author talking about he don't want to die poor. I mean, who wants to die poor? I just got off the phone with Neil talking about we don't want to be poor. So please call back in and 319-527-6713.
So, you want to be a hero. Here are some ways to get the job. Hunt down that killer shark. Or run into a burning house to save a kitten. Luckily, there's an easier way to become a hero. Call 911 if you see someone experiencing the symptoms of stroke, sudden weakness on one side, or trouble speaking, walking, or seeing. Stroke. Know the signs. Act in time. You'll be a real hero. A message from the National Institute of Neurological Disorders and Stroke.